Tune in to this week's DevOps for Mobile episode, where Abel and I show you how to UI test iOS and Android apps on thousands of devices. Welcome back, everyone, to another installment of DevOps for Mobile Development. I'm James Montemagno.
I'm Abel.
Oh my goodness, Abel, it's so good to be back.
Great to be here, thank you.
It's like we never left. Now, on the last episode, which is very important because it's a precursor to basically anything else that you want to do, we talked about provisioning and signing your application and versioning. Was that fun for you?
It was actually really informative. Like, for real, it was.
It was a nice little walkthrough, and we were just talking. And it's just like, it's so hard because every year you kind of have to retrain your mind. So now you have a video where you can go and watch it every year.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we talked about provisioning and signing and versioning, and that's important because we want to talk about testing. And you come from a web backend, and what type of testing do you normally do on the web?
So mostly I do two types of testing, right? I have the unit testing, and then I do the automated UI testing as well.
Okay, so actually for mobile development, those are both the same things that we're going to do.
Perfect.
But I bet they're completely different. Well, I would say the unit testing, XUnit, NUnit, MS test, we use the same stuff, right?
Okay.
In fact, like XUnit and NUnit, they have test runners, so you can run and test them on devices or emulators. But I bet that the UI part is different. What do you use for UI testing today?
I use Selenium.
Okay.
So I write my tests in Selenium. Usually I wrap them up in like either XUnit or something, right? Because something needs to run my Selenium tests. And then I just run them, right? So then my build has to compile everything, but I have to actually deploy my application onto a web server of some sort.
Yep.
And then that build agent will fire up Chrome or whatever and run through my tests and exercise the UI.
So what's cool about mobile development is that that part of testing is, there's some similar steps, but just how you go about it is a little bit different. So let's talk about the frameworks. So you talk about Selenium. For mobile development, whether you're building apps with, you know, native language or Xamarin or other things, there's a few different testing frameworks. So there's things from Google and Apple, like XUI test is from Apple. That's for iOS Objective-C or Swift apps. Google has Espresso. I think it's from Google. And you can correct me in the show notes or comment really bad things below, but I'm pretty sure it's from Google or from the community or somewhere around there. It's called Espresso. Espresso test for them. Then there's things like Appium, which are another way of generating cross-platform tests. And then at Microsoft, we have something called Xamarin UI test. Now, what's cool about Xamarin UI test is it's C-sharp. I like C-sharp. It's how I write my mobile apps. But what's nice about it is that it actually works with any app written in any language. And it's cross-platform. So you can do iOS and Android tests, because often if you ship an app, let's say for Android, you probably have an iOS app that's exactly the same or similar with similar IDs. So what we do for UI testing is a few things. We have these frameworks and solutions that you use to write the tests, and then you need to deploy them. So that's where App Center comes in. So App Center, if we remember, is earlier on, we talked about how we could build, distribute, do analytics, crash reporting. And inside of App Center is testing. So testing, what App Center has, they have device labs of thousands of physical iOS and Android devices. Which is cool.
Like just in a data center, in racks.
I've been in them. It's amazing. and they're just sitting there. And it's important because it's not like a web browser. Mobile devices are not like a web browser. Because there's different manufacturers, there's different OS versions that are out there, different support of how just on, you know, my Samsung device might work different than my Google Pixel device. The back button placement, they modify the OS often, so things like that. So it's important to be able to generate and test on those devices. So over here, for both iOS and Android, you can configure device sets, the devices I want to test on. So I want to just show you what this looks like. So you can kind of get a scale for how many different devices are in here.
So you pick the device, do you get to pick the, I'm sure you get to pick the OS too, right?
Yeah, so in here you, so I'm inside my Android project, so it'll show me not only tablets, but phones, I can do any form factor, all of the different OSs. All the way back to 2.2, that was like my first Android phone, so like really old.
So they have devices sitting in the labs just running the Of course,
just sitting there.
All right, cool.
Just sitting there.
Cool, cool, cool.
You can do different manufacturer. You can do memory. So you can really test your applications on a lot of different devices.
Nice.
And what's nice is that you can sort of see that.
Wow.
They're just, it just scrolls. It just keeps going and going. And they do wide and deep. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is if I was to tap on this device, we can sort of see that this is running Android 8.0. There's 10 devices available. Mm-hmm. Now, they may also have this device running different operating systems. So for instance, on, let's say, a Galaxy S9, mm-hmm. they might have it running Android 9, Android 8, Android 9.01.
Right.
So you can pick those versions too.
Cool.
So if I was to say, you know, show me OS of, you know, 8 and 8.0, what we might end up seeing inside of here is that there's different same devices running different OSs.
Got it.
In general, which kind of makes sense because mm-hmm. they upgrade, but not all users upgrade their devices.
Sure.
So I have a few, you can have as many device sets, or you can deploy to a single device, mm-hmm. and you want them to be running on your device mm-hmm. because you need the real interactions, you need the services, you need the hardware, mm-hmm. which is cool. So what I've done is we've created our first UI test. So I literally, Abel, I kid you not, I did add new project.
Yeah.
And then inside of the new project dialog, mm-hmm. I typed in UI test. Mm-hmm. And there's Xamarin UI test, cross-platform test project.
Cool. Okay.
Now, this gives you everything that you need using Xamarin UI test and NUnit is what's based on it.
Yep.
So what's cool about this is that it creates a default Hello World test for you. Mm-hmm. There's some really cool things, and we have some deep dive videos that I'll link to in the show notes about, we have like page object patterns, a different sort of best practices for UI testing. Mm-hmm. But what this does is it allows you to boot up your app, and it'll tell you if it's on iOS or Android. So here I could say this.platform equals equals, and I could say platform Android or iOS. Mm-hmm. I can also do different identifiers on a test that gives me like, you know, Android specific, it only run on Android app, only run on iOS. And we just use, you know, setup, test, that NUnit style of testing.
Cool.
So what happens here is it spins up a test, it initializes my app, and mm-hmm. what's cool is it'll even deploy your app onto the device so you can test locally. Mm-hmm. And then you just have a series of tests.
Okay.
So this is gonna look pretty cool. This is where Xamarin UI test kicks in. And you have your app, so mm-hmm. now you have your app. And on your app, if I go and zoom in here, zoom in a little bit, I can do app dot. Mm-hmm. And I can do a bunch of things. I can do taps, I can clear the text, I can go back, I can dismiss the I can do what my user's doing,
which
is cool. Now, how it finds these is this test, for instance, it just does a wait for element. So mm-hmm. like, does this element exist on the page?
Right.
So you can do this in one of two ways. You can give it an identifier or just look for this string. So mm-hmm. this is the actual default Hello World app says, welcome to Xamarin Forms, so that's the test. But inside your code, you can have app like identifiers for every element on the screen.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And that's good because if we translate this app will not find that because it will say that in German or in Spanish, right?
Correct.
So for here, we're just gonna do this. Now.
So you define this in your code, right?
In your code.
The app identifiers, got
it. Yeah, right in your app identifier, and it's consistent across iOS and Android. And if you use Xamarin Forms like we're using here, mm-hmm. you set it once and it works on both.
Perfect.
Cool. Now, one unique thing that we'll see later when you run this test in App Center mm-hmm. is this thing called app.screenshot. Mm-hmm. And what that does is?
Takes a screenshot?
Takes a screenshot of your app, that's right.
Brilliant.
And I kind of use this as steps. So mm-hmm. maybe I have, you know, app.screenshot and it's like, app loaded, like app launched, you know, app launched, and then it'll actually write to disk. And then
cool.
I do
so
something here.
Yep.
And we'll see these in there eventually. And then mm-hmm. you can assert. Mm-hmm. So what this is doing is it's saying, wait for an element and mm-hmm. make sure that that element exists on the page.
Got it. Yep.
Now, if it doesn't find this after 30, 45 seconds, it times out and you mm-hmm. can adjust that.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and run this test that we have.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you how you can easily write these tests.
Okay.
So I have the Test Explorer open, and here I have my iOS and my Android tests.
Yep.
So since I didn't define Android or iOS, it puts it in both.
Okay.
So I have my Android device plugged in here, mm-hmm. and in my app initializer, what I'm gonna tell it is to start my app.
Okay.
And I configure either an Android app or an iOS app, and there's this little startup code. Mm-hmm. Now, over on Android, what I've done is I've said, I already have the app installed. Just go ahead and find an app with that identifier.
Okay.
You can also specify the APK path.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's cool. You don't even need the code to write the UI test.
Oh, that's kind of sick.
You can just have it installed on your device, or someone can just give you the APK that we just generated, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I go over to Azure DevOps, over here in that build,
yep.
Someone could go in, look at the drop, and when I go into the drop, there's the APK.
That's all they need.
And over for iOS, when I go over here, if yep. I drill down far enough, there's the IPA.
Yeah.
So that's all you need.
Nice.
So if it's not a Xamarin app, it's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
So now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say, run the selected test. And we're going to go ahead and bring up my Android device. And what it's going to do is it's going to make sure that it can find it, kick it off, and then run a validation here.
Mm-hmm.
So what we should see is that it'll attempt to see if the app is running and close it, mm-hmm. and then launch it.
Very cool.
Boom.
So I'm literally watching this happen on your phone right
yep.
now. That's sick.
Now if I started to tap around and do other things, mm-hmm. it would start doing it.
Right.
But there is another thing that's built in to here, which is called a REPL. So a read, eval, print loop.
What does that do?
So check this out. Let's just do it.
Okay.
So when I do a REPL, what's really cool is it puts the application into an interactable state.
Oh.
So it will help me, instead of like, because the problem here is I'd have to know all of these events that mm-hmm. are happening.
Sure.
What will happen here is if I boot this up,
mm-hmm.
is now it's going to open up a REPL.
Okay.
And I am now have control of my app.
So you can mess with your app manually? Is
yeah.
that what you're saying?
Yeah. So what I can do is at any time I can say app dot, and it gives me all the commands that I had earlier. Now, of course, we need to know the IDs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some nifty things built in, like tree. And the tree here shows me everything that's on the page.
Nice.
So there's an action bar root. There's this a label that's no resource entry to. That's the identifier. That's the text.
Very cool.
So what I can do, actually, is I could do app dot, mm-hmm. and I could do anything. But one thing that I can show you, since it's blank, is something called flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just pass in no resource entry to, and then it flashes on the screen. So it shows you where it's at. And it even gives you additional information about the where it's at, that it was a label, class information, and that if it's enabled or not.
All right, this is really cool. Because at first, when you were showing me all this automated UI stuff for the phone, I was like, yeah, I can do that
yeah.
on the web. I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So you can run this here, and you can do other stuff. So if I did like tap, for instance, and I did that,
mm-hmm.
No resource entry, two, great name, and hit tap, it's going to actually try to tap it. Now, it's a label, so it's not going to do anything.
Sure, sure.
But here's what's other really cool. I did all that stuff. I can just say copy. And then
you can just paste it.
Paste it in. Pretty cool.
All right, you impressed me.
So pretty cool, right?
Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I dig that. All right.
So you could imagine, you can see how you can start building these tests up. So mm-hmm. a login screen. You could say enter text, and it enters. It brings up the keyboard. I could dismiss the keyboard, tap the button to log in, validate that not only is the UI working, because if I can't enter a username, that's mm-hmm. a problem.
Sure.
If I tap on a button and nothing happens, that's a problem. So now, then when I'm all done, I can say exit, and then it's going to go back and pass.
Nice.
So now we want to take this test, and we want to put it in App Center, mm-hmm. right? So let's go back over to DevOps. And when we created this template
mm-hmm.
Inside of Azure DevOps.
Oh yeah, it had tasks already.
It had tasks already.
Right, right, right.
So it gives us a test and distribute task already set up mm-hmm. for our Android and iOS projects.
Okay.
Now we're not gonna deploy, but we are gonna test.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go say enable. Now remember, we already signed our package.
Mm-hmm.
We've already versioned our package.
Right.
We can take that package, send it to App Center.
Great, and they can actually install it onto all the devices and start running that test you wrote.
Exactly, yeah.
Sweet.
So here what we're gonna do is we come in and it's smart enough to already say, hey, I know where your APK lives.
Okay.
You could unlink this if you wanted to and you could specify it yourself, but it's gonna find it.
Yep.
Now, we're going to tell it what framework to use. And these are all the ones that I said earlier. So there's Appium, Espresso, Calabash, XUI test.
Got it.
Here, I picked Xamarin UI test. Mm-hmm. Now, the build directory, which is where this file exists at, is going to be where we've built this project.
Okay.
Now, we also need to build this project. This is where it's going to live. So let's enable that.
Okay.
And we need to build the UI test project because we were only building iOS and Android. So now I'm building it. And then down here, this was set up for us ahead of time too. I didn't do this myself. This was here.
Right.
It gives us the output of where this exists.
Got
so we're going to restore NuGets, build it. And now this output directory, we're saying, hey, this is where the DLL to test lives.
Got it. Boom. Okay. Nice.
Now, if you needed to, you could re-sign your application if you needed some specific certification, anything like that. But we've already signed it, so we can ignore all of this. The only thing we need to tell App Center is where the version of Xamarin UI test lives on disk.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Because that's how we were able to submit this was with Xamarin UI test tooling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a little tricky, and you're like, this is hard-coded. That looks bad. if we don't specify anything, the task will try to search the directory on disk of where it's at. Mm-hmm. But how NuGet works nowadays is it installs it at like a global level.
Yeah.
So I versioned it here and I just said, this is the version I have.
Perfect.
There's some other strategies, for instance, is you might upload those to your server, do a secure download, and then specify them here.
Yeah.
A lot of different options.
Okay.
Little demo-y, I might fix this up in the future, be a little bit nicer.
Fair enough.
Because the only thing that would have to change is if it's on Windows, this would not be, it would be C slash whatever, right?
Sure, sure.
The nice thing is VSTS, which used to be VSTS Azure DevOps, has a VSTS agent, which always remains the same.
Right.
So it's
always
the same.
Got it.
So here, the only other thing we need to do is we now need to say, we have the APK, we have the tools, send it over to App Center.
How do you choose which devices it's going to run on out of the thousands of devices that you have?
Let's do it. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
So the first thing we're going to need to do is set up an app service connection, just like we set up something for GitHub in the beginning.
Sure.
So here I can say, let's add a new connection to App Center, and I can say mobile DevOps here, and get an APK or an API token. So if I go over here into my account settings, over for my personal account, I can go into API tokens,
create a
and
token.
We can say a token, say delete this, right? Because I'm going to delete it. I'm going to say full access, generate a new API token, and then boom.
Cool.
Totally going to delete that later. And then now, boom, we have our API token in place, and now it knows how to talk to App Center.
Yep.
You only have to do that once.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'd already set it up once before. So now we have this two things inside of here. One is a app slug, and one is devices.
Okay.
So the first one here, it actually tells us what to do. It says, hey, combine your username and your app identifier. You're going to find that in your URL in between apps and app identifier. So easy enough. We'll come over here. Xamarin show apps here. Copy that over here. App slug. Remove the apps. Done. Now, you were just talking about the devices.
Right.
So what's cool is that you can pick one device, and that has a unique identifier to it. So the easiest way to do that is to actually go into the test runs and say, let me create a new test run. And here, I've created a group, but I can also say, only choose this one device. And then I can say, kind of like generate this manual test.
Okay.
And what this does is it gives you the device token.
Okay. Yep.
Now, we're using a device set, which I prefer using. And what's cool about a device set is that that identifier will never change because I've given it a name. And here, inside of this, devices, which is the command line that it's running, there's Xamarin show slash pixel.
Cool. Yep.
So that way, I can add and remove from that list, but this identifier will never change.
Got it.
Right?
Nice.
So boom, done.
Very cool.
Now, if I wanted to, I could give it a test series.
What's a test series?
A test series, you can think of it as just a unique identifier for this specific test. And how I use this is I think of it as maybe I have a new branch, Okay. And maybe I want the branch to be the identifier. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I have a smoke test and I have a master. Maybe I have a QA test.
Yep.
And those all have different series. So it's like a series of tests that would be run
for a
specific thing. So I like to have a smoke test to say, hey, every single time, this is my smoke test, and boom, this is what it is. So this is my master branch, or this is my PR branch.
Yeah.
And I can look at all of them.
Yeah.
Because if you are doing a lot of PRs, you don't want to get them muddled in with your mainline series.
Sure.
So that's something to use there.
Got it.
Now, the last important part here is we have two options.
Okay.
You might be a little controversial setting. So if I just run this today, mm-hmm. it will kick off, send this app to App Center, mm-hmm. and my build will continue until it's finished.
Okay.
With all my tests.
Yeah.
Now, if I have one test, that might be a few minutes. But if I have hundreds of tests,
it could take a long time.
It could be like an hour or two.
Right.
So they have an option that says, don't wait for test results.
Oh.
It's fire and forget.
So how do you know if your test failed? I guess you can go back and actually look at it manually. Does it?
Yeah, it'll send you an email,
okay.
Which is nice, and you can always look at it manually.
Okay.
So this is going to depend on your sort of setup.
Sure.
Now, an advantage of waiting is that you can have this generate XML mm-hmm. test results, which can blend with your test results from your build.
Oh, very nice.
Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Some developers prefer to put this test step mm-hmm. in the release pipeline, which we haven't talked about yet. So you can say, before I deploy it, but after the build, run this test. Mm-hmm. Also an option.
Yeah.
This gets into very personal, you know, there is, some people have,
I was going to ask you about that, because I'm one of those people that put my UI tests in the release and mm-hmm. not in the build. But I noticed with mobile, a lot of people are doing their automated UI tests during their build process.
Yeah.
And is that because the release process is just really geared towards, we need to get this into the App Store somehow?
Yeah, like I think often developers, we just like say, the release is only for release and nothing else in our mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm under the camp, though, that I want my build right now, and I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
So I always come in and I check it.
Cool.
But for me, that means that I could just put this into the release because...
Oh, yeah. You're not looking at it until after the fact anyway.
And then if you do that, the nice thing is in the release is the release would fail if the test results failed in general.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know those options. For here, we're just going to shove it right into here.
Okay, perfect.
But all options up to you, viewer. Do whatever you think is best. So now what I can do is I can just say save and queue, kick it off, go. And what this is going to do is it's going to go through, assign our agent, build everything, go to town.
Yep.
Now while that's doing, mm-hmm. let me show you what iOS looks like.
Okay.
Now I've set this up ahead of time just because it's very simple, but a little bit different.
Okay.
So up top over here, we have our Android. We have the same thing, same exact thing, right?
Yep.
Now I have my Android or my iOS phase. I build my UI tests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a little bit different here is you can see I'm building my app,
mm-hmm.
publishing my app for release, and then I also build my app again.
Okay. Are you building different solutions or the same solution?
Same solution. Now, the reason I have to do this, Abel, because you're puzzled and you're like, what is going on, is that for iOS specifically, how it communicates is with a specific NuGet package called the Test Cloud Agent.
Okay.
Now, Apple devices things are really restrictive, mm-hmm. so the architecture of how we can execute this test on that device is by running a little agent inside your app.
Oh, okay.
And you don't want to ship that agent to the App Store.
Got it.
So, what we've done inside of our app delegate here is there's one line of code and you wrap that in a conditional.
Understood. Yeah. Understood. Okay.
Because if you put this in your production, Apple will reject that app from the App Store.
Sure. Sure, sure.
But when you put this in release, this code is removed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's nice here is that when I go back into the portal, we can see that I go in, everything is the same.
So why did you have to build it twice?
I have to put it in debug configuration.
Got it. You're right. Okay,
but notice that I'm doing this after I publish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is fine. You know, whatever I do before it, that's what I'm actually going to release, and this is a special step here.
Understood. Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Now, this will go into a different folder. It'll go into a debug folder.
Sure.
So here inside test, what I do is I say find it inside of a debug folder, and then literally, it's all the same. The same test stuff, UI test, mm-hmm. same tools directory. The only difference here is that I've specified different app slugs, different devices.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now let's see if this thing is, it's going, it's happening. Actually, it's testing with App Center test right now.
Cool.
So this is gone off. It's put it into quiet mode. Mm-hmm. So what we should see is if I go over into my Android tests, uh-huh. Let's see if everything is here. Let's refresh. Let's see if it, always of doing this live is always, will it happen in real time? Send it here, back over here. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Now it's running.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just didn't wait long enough. So it sent it off. It kicked it. Our version's in place here. Mm-hmm. And what's cool is that this is going to run. There's all my previous test runs. You can see mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of demos recently.
Yeah.
This is waiting for results.
Yeah.
Now, if I go into the previous results that I did earlier today, mm-hmm. we can see that I have one test, little beautiful UI, ran on three devices. And here we have that test step. So that's that screenshot test.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it took. Okay. A screenshot,
nice.
Right? Really cool. And I can see memory, CPU usage, performance, everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then I can go and kind of, if I had multiple steps, I could go up and down. I could go in, look at the other devices back cool. and forth, which is cool.
Yeah.
I can also then go into my iOS app because I've already done this earlier and I have my tests here that are run. So here's five tests. Here, what's nice is I can say there's some failures earlier, but here I can see here on all these different iOS devices.
Cool.
And you can create those test sets. Here I have a QA test, there's a smoke test, and you can come in and you can add and remove items to here too for both iOS devices, iPad devices, and you can, so many, right? Look at all those versions of iOS, so many.
Nice. Now,
and that's literally it. Now it's in our cycle.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
I am super impressed with the Xamarin UI test. That stuff was kind of cool.
Yeah.
The way that you can just do it live and then copy and paste it in the code. I like that.
Yeah, it's super nice. And hopefully it was, did it seem too different, like the process from website?
It actually is very, very similar.
Yeah.
The difference is that, you know, I don't have to send it anywhere special. I can just dump it onto any old server. And of course, I can bring up a instance of my browser anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So, but beyond that, mostly the concepts are the same.
Yeah, and I like also that if you want, like I said, you'll have all your tests here. So before mm-hmm. you even push code, you can just come in, run all your tests locally, and just make sure they validate.
Yeah.
Which is super nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Love it.
Awesome.
Love it.
There you go. Now you're a UI test pro.
Totally.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks, Abel. Hopefully this was good. And I also like to do that comparison to web dev because mm-hmm. It seems scary when you're like, oh, I got mobile, I have all this stuff. And when I come to web, I'm like, this is web. I don't know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of similarities.
Yeah. These two, the UI tests, very, very similar.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, now that we've tested, in the next episode, we're going to show you how to distribute your app. How do you get it onto these devices and into your users' hands?
Yeah. I want to see this.
Yeah. And into the App Store. Just mm-hmm. hopefully be mind-boggling. So awesome. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Of course, you can learn all about DevOps in general for mobile by going to aka.ms/DevOpsForMobile to learn more. Thanks, Abel, so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah. And tune in for more DevOps for Mobile.